Well, good morning. It's pretty hard to come up here after all of those introductions. But you're all expecting something pretty grand. So hopefully you will not be disappointed. And in fact, you won't. Because the Word of God is grand and is powerful and is effective. And this morning we're going to look at the entire message of the Bible. You say, well, wait, we don't have that much time. But that's okay. This morning, we're going to look at the gospel, which is the power of salvation. This morning, we'll be in Matthew chapter 16. So if you want to turn there with me, we're going to look at the church's foundation. The church's foundation. Why are we a church? What makes us a church? What is the global church as the body of Christ built on? What is Shawnee Hills Baptist as a local church built on? What makes us stand together, united? And we're going to look at that this morning. So hopefully you've had time to turn to Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. I'll read that for us. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is a wonderful passage. This passage, in many ways, is the crux or the climax of the entire book of Matthew. And what I mean by that is this. Matthew, in his gospel, wants to provoke a question in our minds as readers. And then he wants to answer that question. And so the context for Matthew is that Matthew asks the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? As we're reading the book of Matthew and we're paying attention to all the clues that Matthew's giving us, we should be asking ourselves, who is this Jesus guy? And Matthew's going to give us several possible answers. But the right answer is the one that Peter gives in Matthew 16. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. See, Matthew structures his gospel in a series of discourse and narrative sections. And what I mean by that is there are certain sections, five of them, in fact, where it begins with something like, "And Jesus spoke to the disciples." And then there's a series of two, three, four chapters of Jesus speaking and telling parables. And it's through these thoughts, through this speaking, that Matthew gets his point across. But then breaking up each of these sections is a narrative portion where Matthew provides stories that back up the words that Jesus is saying. And this morning we are in the fourth narrative section of Matthew, which stretches from the end of chapter 13 to the end of chapter 17. And through these four chapters, Matthew wants to use stories of Jesus' life to highlight key truths about Jesus' identity, and as we'll see, the identity of the church as well. And so if this seems like a paper, I apologize. That's what I'm doing constantly, all the time, like twice a week. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to show you how I got there, and then I'm going to tell you what I just told you. And so hopefully, by the end, you'll remember something. That's the goal. That's the goal. And so our main point is this. The main idea for today that we're going to work through and unpack in Matthew chapter 16 is that the gospel provides the foundation for the identity and the mission of the church, resulting in gospel proclamation both to believers and to unbelievers. Let me say that again. The gospel provides the foundation for the identity and mission of the church, resulting in gospel proclamation both to believers and to unbelievers. And we'll unpack what all of that means as we go through Matthew 16. So the previous chapters, Matthew 13 to 15, are a way of showing certain narratives, and you know these narratives, of Herod thinking that, oh, John the Baptist is back. I thought I killed him, but look, there's this guy doing miracles. And Jesus walking on the water with the disciples. Jesus feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000. Jesus healing many people, casting out demons. And you think, what do all these stories have together? Well, there's three themes that are running through these chapters that all climax in Matthew 16. And the first theme is this. There's a theme of faith. Think of when Jesus walks on the water. Think of the feeding of the 5,000. Think of the faith of the Canaanite woman. See, each of these stories in Matthew 13, 14, 15, a situation arises, and Jesus handles the situation. But then he says, you have no faith. You have a lack of faith. But for the Canaanite woman, he praises her and says, your faith is great. And so we have this theme of faith versus lack of faith in Jesus. Put my faith in him. Who is he? And the second theme is authority or power. See, Jesus feeds the crowds. Jesus heals the sick. Jesus casts out demons. Jesus calms the wind and the waves, all of which speaks to his power and his authority. Think of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. Where at the end, after he finishes all his teaching, the crowds respond with, who is this guy? We've never seen anyone preach with such authority. And so Jesus has authority. Jesus has power. And Matthew is again raising the question in our minds, who is this Jesus? Who is this guy that has authority to teach? Who is this guy that has authority to feed and provide for his people? Who is this guy that has power over sickness? Who is this guy that has power over creation? And then the third theme is this. A lack of understanding or a misunderstanding. Confusion concerning Jesus' identity. Who is Jesus? Constantly, he calls the disciples. Says, you guys don't get it. They're like, hey, explain to us this parable. Jesus goes, you have no understanding. You don't understand who I am or what I am doing. They're confused about Jesus' identity and Jesus' mission. And what I want to say is this. Jesus' identity and Jesus' mission is the gospel. And that's what provides the foundation for the church's identity and the church's mission. They go hand in hand. They are connected and united to one another. And you say, okay, I got that. I got your main idea. You've said it like four times. It's cool. Got the main idea. I got your three themes, right? If I go through, I can see, okay, Jesus is speaking. They're not getting it. There's faith. There's lack of faith. There's authority. There's power. But where is that in Matthew chapter 16? Well, let's look at it. Start with me in verse 5. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive, do you not yet remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about the bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So right there, we have the authority in the teaching. We have the lack of faith because they do not understand. So all three themes are present going into our passage, Matthew 16, 13 through 20. And so the disciples are saying, "Oh, shoot, we forgot to bring some bread." And Jesus says, "Hey, beware of this leaven." And they're like, "Oh, look, he's telling us we forgot to bring bread." And Jesus is like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't pay attention to the teaching that does not have authority. Pay attention to me. Have faith. Understand who I am. And put your faith in me. And so when Jesus comes into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asks his disciples. Once again, he's kind of preemptively asking to figure out what's in their heart, right? Matthew is using Jesus to get us to ask this question. Who is Jesus? And so Jesus says, "Hey, who do people say that I am?" Right? We're going around, Jesus is gaining some popularity, and Jesus wants to clarify any confusion. You know, what's the rumor mill? And Matthew uses the disciples to bring up the possible ideas that we might be thinking about who Jesus is. Right? Some say that you are John the Baptist. That's what Herod was thinking. If we go back to Matthew chapter 14, Matthew 14 begins with Herod looking out and seeing Jesus doing these miracles, and he's like, "Oh my goodness, is this John the Baptist come back from the dead? I thought I killed that guy." And so the disciples pose that answer. They're like, "Well, some people say you're John the Baptist." And in our head, we should be thinking, "Well, that doesn't seem right." And then Matthew continues with the disciples. Some say Elijah, or others Jeremiah, or others one of the prophets. So we're thinking, okay, I've read the Old Testament. I know that Elijah is supposed to come. I know that prophets oftentimes do miracles. I know that prophets have authority because they're teaching the word of God. Maybe Jesus is one of these prophets. We say, okay, that might be it. That might be it. But then Jesus doesn't answer the question. He turns it back on the disciples. He says, "But who do you say that I am?" And that's Jesus' question for the disciples. But that's also Jesus' question for you and I. Who do you say that Jesus is? What are you going to do with Jesus? Who is Jesus? That's Matthew's question. That's Jesus' question. And that's our question. Who is Jesus? And Peter responds, "You are the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And we say, whoa, it's a pretty outrageous answer. And Jesus is like, "Yep, that's it. That's right." We say, "Wait, what?" And then he says, "Blessed are you, because you didn't think of this on your own, but my Father in heaven revealed this to you." And so Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the one who has come with authority, with power. He's the one that we should put our faith in. And we shouldn't be confused or have any misunderstanding about the identity and the mission of Jesus. He is the one who has come to take away the sins of the world. He's the one who's come to bring the kingdom of heaven, the one who's come to preach the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation, for a right relationship with the Father, to be excused from his wrath and enjoy the blessing of his fellowship. That is Jesus. That is his identity. That is his mission. He is the Messiah. He is the one who saves, and he is the Son of God, God himself, the only one with authority, the only one with power, the only one worthy of our faith. And so we need to respond with Peter and say, yes, that is who you are, Jesus. And then we get this key verse, in verse 18. And I tell you, you are Peter. And so Jesus changes Simon at this point, gives him the name Peter, which is just a play on words because Peter means rock or foundation. And so Jesus is saying, Peter, you're this rock, and on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And you say, oh, that's where we get popes. That's it. Peter's the first pope. It's not it. I'm going to stay away from that. What he's actually saying is on this. He doesn't say on you. He says on this. On this what? What is the foundation? What is the rock? And it's the declaration that Peter makes. That's why Peter's called the rock, not because of himself. In four verses, Peter's going to get called Satan. So it's not Peter. Like, we can't be like, oh, Peter, he's doing such a great job. And then Jesus is like, get behind me, Satan. So it's not Peter. It's the declaration. It's the promise. It's the statement. It's the faith that is shown by saying, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And that is the declaration. That is the rock. The gospel provides the foundation for the church's identity and mission, resulting in gospel proclamation both to believers and unbelievers. And so Jesus answers the question himself by affirming what Peter says. And he says, on this declaration, I'm building my church. The church's identity, the church's mission flows from the person and the mission of Christ. And we cannot separate those things. We cannot say, let's gather together and have fun and get to know one another, and yeah, we'll do some nice things and try and be a good person. That's not church. Church is a people gathering together under the name and the mission of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And so his mission becomes our mission, just as his identity becomes our identity. He says, look here, with the authority. And I tell you, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And we're like, I don't know what that means. What is binding and loosing? Well, he uses this terminology again in Matthew 18 when talking about church discipline. And he says, again, whatever you bind in heaven will be loosed in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed. So we say, okay, so whatever I still don't know what that means. And what it means is this: the authority of Christ now becomes the authority of the church as we follow Christ. As we put our faith in the one who has the authority, we now have the authority. Think to the end of the book of Matthew, jumping all the way to the end, Matthew 28. How does the book end? With the Great Commission. Then Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now you go and you make disciples and you teach them and you baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, we have the identity and we have the mission flowing from the authority of the Christ, of the Son of God. So as we participate in the ministry of Christ, we have his authority. And so the identity of the church flows from the gospel. Look at 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2, there's this language that talks about rocks again. And we're like, oh, that's kind of similar to what we talked about earlier. And in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5, Peter goes on to say, And as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. See, Jesus, the rock, has now used the declaration of Christ that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, as the foundation for the church, and now the church itself becomes rocks, living stones built together into a house for the ministry of offering sacrifices acceptable to God. And so the church's identity and mission as followers of Christ, as disciples of Christ, as a people gathering together to fulfill the ministry of Christ, to take the gospel to the nations, to baptize and to teach and to make disciples. This all flows from the gospel. This all flows from the identity and the mission of Christ. And so you say, well, what's our response then? How do we deal with this declaration? How do we deal with Matthew chapter 16? Well, we respond by preaching the gospel. We respond by putting our faith and our trust in the one who has authority. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, in Colossians 3, verse 16, it says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. The response is gospel proclamation. That's why the end of our main idea is resulting in gospel proclamation. See, the church now flows from the identity and the mission of Christ from the foundation of the gospel. And so we preach the gospel, we teach the gospel, we share the truth about Christ, we share this declaration with one another, with believers, but also with unbelievers as we make the message known and make disciples of all nations. See, in Matthew 16, verse 20 ends us on kind of a soft note. We have this wonderful declaration. And then Jesus says, oh, by the way, don't tell anybody. And we're like, wait, that doesn't seem right. And it's because the disciples still did not understand that though Jesus is the Christ, from Isaiah we know that he's also the suffering servant and that his mission is one of victory, but it's victory through suffering. And the disciples did not understand that. But we can understand that through the Word of God and the Spirit of God so that we rightly view Christ for who he is and we rightly see his mission and take that upon ourselves so that we too might have victory through suffering, that we might join in Christ's suffering as we join in his mission to proclaim the gospel and to bring about the kingdom of God. And so I encourage you, I implore you to read and think deep about Matthew 16, to see how the gospel provides the foundation for the church in their identity and their mission. And that results in us that we might proclaim the gospel both to one another, to encourage one another, to focus on this declaration, to focus on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, to focus on the fact that Jesus is the Son of the living God, but also that we might share that truth, share that declaration, share that gospel, that good news with those around us who do not yet know, who do not yet understand, and who do not yet have faith in the Son of God. Communion is a wonderful time for us to remember who Christ is and what he's done in establishing a new covenant. Through his blood, through his suffering, we have victory. And it's that mission that we continue by sharing and proclaiming the gospel to one another and to those around us. So think this week, how can you fulfill the ministry of Christ? How can you preach the gospel? How can you share this declaration both with those around you that you know are believers, to encourage them, to focus their hearts and their minds, but also with those around you who do not know Christ? Be intentional with your words and your time this week. The gospel provides the foundation for the church's identity and mission, resulting in gospel proclamation, both to believers and to unbelievers. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to come and hear your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would use this declaration of Christ to speak to us, to encourage us, to align our hearts with your word and your mission, that we might have a right understanding of your identity, Lord Jesus, and put our faith in you and in your authority. And I ask for all these things. In Christ's name, amen.